Dr. Daria Brzezinski, and we're here with Ruth Becker, and she corrected me with the Pennsylvania Resources Council is where it is. Now, Ruth, we started to talk about the five pieces of recycling and environmental education, which is reduce, reuse, recycle, reject, and react. We've skimmed upon reduce, reuse, and recycle. Let's talk about reject. What is that's a new one. I haven't heard that one.
Okay, reject. You take a look at something, and it. I'll give you an example. At one time, there were two deodorants that were made by the Gillette company. One was for men, and one was for women. The male deodorant would stand strong and virile on the shelf. The female deodorant was wrapped up in a pretty pink wrapper, in a box with cellophane. You got 25% less and paid 25% more.
For the package.
PRC started a campaign with them and said why. Their response was, women like lots of wrapping. Now, I have to tell you, when I was with PRC, I spoke on the average of once a week and at least once to a woman's group. Never did I meet a group of women who said, Ruth, we just love wrapping.
I despise it, personally.
I mean, it's. Do you realize that for the longest time, when women bought cosmetics, or men bought cosmetics for that matter, one-third of what they paid for was for the wrapping. You get a $55 bottle of perfume, and I'll bet you $20 is for the fancy wrap that it comes in.
Now, have we gotten smarter in that regard?
Women have gotten smarter, and this is where reject comes in. PRC has a book, a book of 800 numbers to call. You can find other 800 numbers on most products that you buy. You don't like something, you call up and you tell them.
I love it.
And, you know, you must reject what you don't like. When I see overpackaging, I do not buy it, and I react by calling up and saying, I am not buying your product because I'm not going to pay for wrapping. Now, if you want to talk about product integrity, that's another story. If you wrap something carefully so that it doesn't break or it doesn't spill or someone can't tamper with it, that's another story. But there is no reason for a basketball to be wrapped in a box wrapped with some more wrapping. I'm sure nothing is going to happen to the basketball. It could sit perfectly loose, and I could buy it loose.
That's true. I guess it makes more sense for people who want to stack them on a shelf in this store.
Well, if you want to stack them on a shelf, you can stack them in a bin in exactly the same way. They'll stay.
Now, you know, this seems like a good project for school students to look at the products that they use in their home and try to write to companies and work with companies or call companies to think a little bit more about their packaging. But
it's a wonderful project for school students to undertake. They can take an afternoon, walk into a supermarket, and just make a list of 10 products, 10 anything that they find that are overpackaged. And then you find out who the company is that makes them, call up on the 800 number, and complain.
You know, we're never, ever encouraged to reuse packaging. Why is that? Why is our marketing campaigns and all these companies using plastics and nobody ever encourages us to recycle and use them over again? I was thinking of cosmetics, you know, the packaging of cosmetics. There are bottles. Nobody ever encourages us to return them. Is it because it's too expensive?
No, you can go to the body shop. And you can bring back anything that you buy and have it refilled.
I didn't know that.
There are places out there. There are a couple of vegan sites on the internet that will tell you where to buy the product. And I will be happy to supply them for you.
I would love it.
And then you can share them with your listeners. But, you know, you do not have to buy stuff that's overpackaged. You don't have to pay for packaging. You can demand to pay for product. All right. I would rather have the extra 30 cents of every dollar that goes for packaging in cosmetics used on the cosmetic. I'd rather get more product.
I agree completely. This is that you actually took it to the direction where I wanted to go. If we thought about recycling more of the packaging, then the prices would go down, and I'm not sure that corporations want to do that.
Well, I think what corporations want to do is sell. And if they save on the packaging, it doesn't necessarily mean that the price will go down. The story I told you about the basketball happened to be a Sears Roebuck product about 10 years ago. And we got them to do away with the wrapping. However, I don't think that they shared the saving with the customer.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'll give you another example. You know the wipes that they use for babies?
Yes.
Originally, when they were first made, the company Scott was making them. And Scott came to us and said, what do you think of this container? We said, it's a great container. It's reusable, which means that you could sell the wipes without the container in a container that could be disposed of. And they finally did that. Now, it's in recent years that you find it's cheaper to buy just a replacement than to buy it with the plastic container.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But for many years, I used my wipe containers for a lot of other things, for buttons, for straight pins, for things that I was saving.
Yeah, I'm notorious. I mean, I have everything from the little plastic bottles that drinks come in to the styrofoam that I get in a restaurant for my whatever I haven't eaten. So I have another question to ask you. We've got five areas here: reduce, reuse, recycle, reject, and react. What is react?
Well, I've sort of touched on react. You don't like something, you call up. You think that recycling is not taking place in your school, for example. You send a letter to the school board and to the superintendent of schools and to your local newspaper and ask why.
And so that is a way to be able,
The best weapon we have to protect the environment is being informed. The way you become informed is you ask questions. You ask questions, you look for answers, and you make your voice heard.
Most people don't ask questions.
That's true, but we need to ask questions to protect our children. If butterflies die because of genetically engineered corn, what does that do to our children? Do we know?
Unfortunately, we're a culture of short-sighted people and not long-term thinking people.
No, I don't even know if we're so short-sighted, Daria, as we are trusting.
Ah.
Okay, we believe...
You think we're trusting?
If you knew how many times people have said to me, if it weren't good for us, the company wouldn't put it out there because they would be afraid to be sued.
Really?
Now, what I have learned in the interim is if your profit is big enough, you can deal with a suit very nicely.
So it doesn't really matter.
I mean, take a look at the tobacco companies.
Yeah, they're not crumbling under the lawsuits.
They're not crumbling under the lawsuits. And, you know, and I love Philip Morris's campaign on, I don't know if you've seen it, on how wonderful they are, all the wonderful things they are doing.
Mm-hmm. I have seen it.
And, you know, that's very nice. I'm really glad to see that they're trying to make amends for years of doing damage.
And yet I'm totally concerned because I was in a restaurant last night and I was just appalled at how many young people were smoking in it. Young females, actually. Just appalled. The number was staggering.
It's scary. I mean, I share your concern. I really do.
Now, What else concerns me is the fact that we know so much about the environment and we are teaching courses in school, and yet the day-to-day operations don't reflect what we know. Our schools don't have recycling programs. They're not using recycled materials. They don't teach children about... Let's talk about clothes that we wear. Can we talk a little bit about the chemicals that are in synthetic clothes? Do they have an effect on the body?
Well, you know, there's a whole group of people out there who are allergic to anything synthetic. But the bottom line is, my guess would be, and it is only an informed guess, that we have had synthetics with us so long, and that we really have never done any research on the impact. I mean, people who are allergic to synthetics get a rash. People who are allergic to synthetics may get an asthmatic attack. But there is so little that we wear that's pure. Even the cottons that we wear, if you want to look at cotton, you know, unless it's an organic cotton, it's sprayed.
Yep. I'm one of those skin-sensitive people.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to be careful about cotton. I wear cotton and silk. But I know that...
Now, I mean, I will tell you one thing that, you know, my sons, who are both vegans, never put anything on without washing it first.
Exactly.
I mean, they wash it once or twice before they put it on. Now, for a lot of people, that's ridiculous, because they buy something new, they want it to look new.
Well, the problem is that what people don't understand is there are many chemicals that are residues that are on the clothes.
I mean, sometimes you can buy something new in the store and you can smell the residue.
My concern is long term, and that is that because we have not researched and because we have not really looked into all of the chemicals, the genetic engineering, it may not show up in the first generation, but two or three generations from now, we may be having problems.
You may very well be right. I mean, there probably are, I don't know what, 25,000 chemicals out there. I don't think we've researched 500 of them. Most of the time we start researching a chemical when there's a death.
Yes.
You know, after the cow's out of the barn, then we check the lock.
Well, I wonder if we're not in the long run going to create, as you said, you know, because we have been giving animals these injections for so many years of antibiotics, we have become, the strains we become have become mutated, and we now can no longer, are less and less able to be inoculated against those viruses. And
I wonder, we have to constantly look for something new.
And I'm wondering if in the long run, the more we chemically induce the land, the animals, the food that we eat, the more we are creating long-term genetic mutants somewhere down in the future.
It's an interesting question, certainly worth doing research on. Probably my answer to you would be that the human body is amazingly resilient. As I told you before, my husband's a dentist, and he always used to say to me, it was positively astounding to him at what people could put in their mouths and still survive.
What message should we be trying to teach in our schools?
The message we should be trying to teach in our schools is, in our school, we have to live what we're teaching. If we're teaching conservation, then we should conserve. If we're teaching recycling, then we should recycle, and we need to buy recycled. If we're teaching environmental shopping, then we have to teach our kids to read the labels. You don't have to read the whole label. The rule of thumb that we talked about, you know, if there are more than four or five ingredients, you don't want it. It's got too many chemicals in it.
Can one person really make a difference?
Oh, one person can make a tremendous difference.
How's that?
I'll give you an example. About 15 years ago, a woman called the PRC office, and she said, you know, we have all these legs, pantyhose containers, and we can't recycle them. Sometimes the teachers take them for projects, but they can't take all of them. This is really a waste. This was one woman. We mounted a campaign of lots of other one women, and you'll notice that the egg disappeared for legs, pantyhose.
I noticed that.
So one person can definitely make a difference.
An increasing number of companies are sending materials into the schools. How do we respond to those?
Again, this is a question of the teacher must be informed. People have a right to send their material in, but we need to be able to evaluate them for what they are. If I'm sending something into you for free, and schools love to get free material, I have to be mature enough to understand that I am sending a message with that material. And so the teacher has to take the time to evaluate it. And if the teacher is not sure whether the information is accurate, there are probably 50 or 75 environmental groups locally she can check with.
Well, nothing...
She can call the Department of Environmental Protection Citizen Advisory Council, and they will give you a list. They'll send you a directory of all the environmental groups in Pennsylvania.
You are listening to Children Come First. We're here every Tuesday from 10 to 11 a.m., and we welcome WAAT 750 a.m., as well as WFBS from Berwick, 1280 a.m., and we're talking to Ruth Becker today. She was formerly with the Pennsylvania Resources Council, and we're talking about environment and environmental education and the direction for our children of the future. Colleen, and I lost my train of thought. They were talking about the schools and...
We were talking about the schools, and we were talking about if you bring in material from businesses.
Right.
And businesses provide some very high-quality material, but it's got to be taken for what it is. It's something with one perspective. Environmental groups are a wonderful source of impartial information.
Nothing, I think, impacted us more than the major marketing campaign, and I think this is where all of the business began to be infiltrated in the school, but in the late 1940s and the early 1950s, the mass marketing campaign by the Dairy and Cattlemen's Association to create lifelong consumers really had an impact on all of us with the food pyramid with no I remember the posters, and we all went to the dairy to get our ice cream at the end and visit the dairies, and it was an incredibly devised technique to get people to become mass consumers of milk and ice cream and dairy cattle.
Absolutely, and it was a very successful campaign.
And yet there was no substantial research that said that we should have 3 glasses of milk and eat 3 servings of meat every day. And now we now realize that perhaps this isn't the best thing that we can do. And I think it's a direct relationship of what you are talking about and how educators, you know, businesses, all they're interested in is lifelong consumers, and they feel that if they can put a product in a school at an early enough age, then children will become lifelong consumers of that product, and that's exactly what happens.
That's what happens. That, you know, the educators exist not just in the schools, but the educators exist in the home. And both educators need to be informed. They need to look for information. And I understand that teachers have limited time and parents have limited time. But as I said before, environmental groups are out there, and their sole purpose is to provide non-biased information.
Well, I've read a lot of information from the United States Department of Environment, and one of the things that concerns me is in education is the fact that the environmental agencies do not share information with educators, and I'm going to give you an example. I noticed that the Department of Ed was giving grants to find out why so many children were out ill with asthma. And yet 3 years prior to this grant being offered, the Department of Environment found out that children had asthma for certain reasons, chemicals that were in the environment, in the school environment, in the home environment.
Mm-hmm.
The right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. How can we get government to play a larger role?
The way we can get government to play a larger role is to make your voice heard. How do you make your voice heard in government? That's what your legislator is for. You would be amazed at what kind of response you get when you write to your congressman and you say, if you write to your congressman exactly what you've just said to me about making sure that the grant information goes to the educators early, or that information on lead or other harmful things to children go to the schools, you'd be surprised what kind of reaction you're going to get. You've got 2 senators, you write to both senators. You've got a congressman, you get your friends to write. You'd be amazed at what kind of response you can get when your congressman writes a letter.
Well, I must tell you that I spend a great deal of time in Harrisburg, which is the capital of Pennsylvania, and where most of the legislators hold offices. And I have discovered in going to hearings and committee meetings that, in fact, most legislators are on many, many committees and have a difficult time keeping up with all of the volumes of information and reports that they are sent by people. And
that's true, but the bottom line is the squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Well, that was my next line.
I mean, I have to tell you, I admire Clean Water Action because when they go after something, they are there day and night.
What is Clean Water Action?
Clean Water Action is a group that fights for clean water.
Is that a state agency?
Yes. No, it's a nonprofit, also an environmental organization.
In the state of Pennsylvania?
In the state of Pennsylvania.
And where is it located?
It's located, I think its main headquarters is in Philadelphia, but I think it has a headquarters in Harrisburg also.
Okay, so it's called...
I think Clean Water Action is a national organization with state and local chapters.
Okay. And from the environmental, I read the environmental report from the governor's office for the year for the 21st century, and I was just, you know, the major thrust of it is to educate our children.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, one of the major things that I see that we can do is create vocational technical schools that train plumbers, electricians, carpenters, engineers to environmentally build buildings that are sustainable.
Oh, you're talking about green building.
Yes.
That's the next phase of where we're going. We need to talk about building buildings that are energy efficient, that use recycled materials in their construction, that reuse other construction material. PRC in Pittsburgh has this enterprise called Construction Junction, where you take in old building materials that you no longer need and you trade them for things that you do need. And Construction Junction is doing a thriving business because it's the reuse aspect of survival. I mean, there's nothing, if you have six windows that you bought that you're not going to use and you trade them in for something that you are going to use, that's a lot more sensible than going out and buying new windows and trashing the old ones.
Is this a nonprofit organization?
This is part of PRC, yes. It's called Construction Junction.
That is incredible. That is an incredible idea.
And we're hoping, you know, to set up a facility in the eastern part of the state also, because we feel that it's absolutely critical. I mean, they're talking about building new stadiums in Pittsburgh and in Philadelphia. Those stadiums have to have green building. They have to take into consideration, they have to use crushed, recycled glass in their foundations when they lay their driveways. They have to have energy-efficient windows. They have to have recycled material wherever they can use it. They need to use recycled tires for their driveways. And, for example, PRC's driveway is made out of recycled tires. It's wonderful. You could never tell.
I've been there. You can't.
But it looks like any other driveway. It works like any other driveway. It costs a little bit more than any other driveway because there aren't many people doing it. So they had to set up a special run of material for us. But if there were many people doing it, it wouldn't cost any more.
Now, we have had, I must say, we've had two gentlemen on one from Pittsburgh, Bob Cobert, and one from Harrisburg, architect from Harrisburg, John Becker, who talked about green buildings. So we've really covered that area.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we haven't really done is to talk about day to day what we can do for children and how we must emphasize our children becoming more aware and educating them more and more about how we can better serve each other and them with taking care of our environment. Do you think more emphasis should be placed on less is better?
More emphasis should be placed on less is better. It really frightens me how materialistic we create the mode in which our children are raised. It's such a materialistic mode. I mean, you have to have the doll. Parents stand in line. The newspapers publicize it. people push each other out of the way. This is the doll for Christmas. You must have it.
And we have rooms and rooms full of toys.
And we have rooms and rooms full of toys. We have fat kids. Why do we have fat kids? Because our kids don't walk. They don't know what it's like to walk.
They don't know what it's like to play outside anymore.
No. I mean, either you're in front of the computer. I mean, I'll give you a story. My son teaches at the university, and he gave his class an assignment, which you had to go to the library to get. If you went to the library, it was like an ABCD kind of assignment from a reference book. Required nothing. Do you know that every member of the class went to the internet for the answer to the questions?
Doesn't surprise me at all.
Came back to him and said he assigned an impossible assignment. They're not using the library. We, in turn, we need to practice environmental protection in our homes. I'll give you a simple thing. You bring back clothes from the cleaners. Those clothes need to be aired and the bags discarded.
That's wonderful. Well, we have had a wonderful hour here with Ruth Becker, who spent the last 25 years with the Pennsylvania Resources Council, talking about waste management, recycling, healthy homes, what to do in our schools and our community, and what we can do for our children. And I really appreciate your taking the time today, Ruth, to be with us. We talked about reduce, reuse, recycle, reject, and react, and hopefully people will be calling the Pennsylvania Resources Council at 1-800-GO-TO-PRC. That's GOTOPRC. 1-800-GO-TO-PRC. For any information you'd like about recycling, or you can call us here at Children Come First at 1-877 toll free 877 Pro Kids. That's 877 Pro Kids. Or you can email us at prokids@rlc.net. That's prokids@rlc.net. And thank you for Ruth for joining us today and spending this hour with us.
Well, Daria, thank you because kids are the most important thing. They are our most precious possession. Thanks for trying to make it easier for them.
Well, we hope we inform our public on all of the wonderful things that we can do for our children and at least make them aware of the kinds of things that we need to start doing to create a better society for tomorrow and a better place for children for tomorrow.
Well, information is definitely the answer, and everybody needs to go out there and learn something about the environment today and teach it to his or her kid tonight.
Thank you so much again, and join us again next week for Children Come First. This is Dr. Daria Brzezinski. 1-877-PRO-KIDS, that's 877 toll-free PRO-KIDS, or prokids@rlc.net, that's prokids@rlc.net. Join us again next week when we will have another interesting guest talking about children, families, and education and prevention. Please have a wonderful week, and give your children a hug, and a hello from all of us. Thank you.